Morning, Rabbi Sai. There is a general machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi about whether or not you make a brocha on a hachana for the mitzvah. So according to the Bavli, you don't make a brocha on the making of a sukkah. The sofer doesn't make a brocha on writing a sefer Torah. The batim macha doesn't make a brocha on making tefillin. Because that's hachana mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah itself, and so therefore, according to the Bavli, you do not make a brocha on lasoy sukkah or al asiyas sukkah, on the building of a sukkah. But and Basha Inkain, the Yerushalmi holds that you do make a brocha. You make a brocha on a sofer, probably, I don't know, I guess once a day or something. If he's writing a sefer Torah, or he's writing mezuzahs, or whatever it is, he would make a brocha, lasois, or lichtoiv, whatever the brocha would be. And the same thing would be that you would make a brocha, according to the Yerushalmi, on the building of a sukkah. It's not just, chaga sukkah is ta'aseh l'chol shevas yomim. And the building of a sukkah is a heksha mitzvah. I can't sit in the sukkah unless I built a sukkah. I mean, I don't have to do the building, yeah, but I have to have a sukkah. So if I was involved in the building of a sukkah, that's called a hachana for the mitzvah, according to Yerushalmi. The Mechaber paskins like the Bavli. Yeah, the Mechaber paskins like the Bavli, that you do not make a brocha when you build a sukkah. In theory, if you argue that that hachana is not a mitzvah, then there's no particular mitzvah that you should get involved in it. It'll be the same mitzvah if you ask a goy to build a sukkah for you, or you move into a sukkah, you move into a place where there's a ready-made sukkah, or you go to a hotel where they built a sukkah for you. Yeah, there's no inyan that you should get involved in the building of the sukkah, because according to the Bavli, it's not a mitzvah. Then comes a question, what about shechionu? At the end of the day, when you've finished building a sukkah, right? Should you make a shechionu? Even the Yerushalmi's maskim, that although the building of the sukkah is a heksha mitzvah, and according to the Bavli, according to Yerushalmi, that's a mitzvah, but the shechionu you would make on the building of the sukkah, but only at the very end. At the very end, when the sukkah is complete. So even the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are both maskim, that at the end of building a sukkah, when you're mekayim the mitzvah, on the first night, tonight, you should have in mind, when you make a shechionu tonight, that your shechionu goes both on the yom, on the chag, and on the building of the sukkah. Right? It says clearly in Halachas brought down Sim Tov Reish Mem, that tonight you have to have that kavana. Ad kadei kach, it says, and this is the halacha, even though we paskin that the building of a sukkah is not the mitzvah, afal piken, you need to make a shechionu on the completion of the building of the sukkah. Al kadei kach, the lu yitzuya, chas v'sholem, it shouldn't happen. That, let's say it's raining, and a person doesn't sit in the sukkah on the first night, and he goes into the house, and he makes kiddush there, then he'll make a shechionu on the zman, he'll make a shechionu on the chag. But he can't make a shechionu on the asiyas ha-sukkah. On the completion of the sukkah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah by actually making kiddush. It says that, let's say it stops raining, and then afterwards you go into the sukkah, or the next day when you make kiddush in the morning, if you made shechionu on the zman last night, but you did not make shechionu clearly because you weren't sitting in the sukkah on the asiyas ha-sukkah, then you'll make another shechionu when you go into the sukkah. Either that night in the middle of the meal if it stops raining, or even the next day, the first time that you go into the sukkah, you will make a shechionu on the completion of the building of the sukkah. Separate shechionu apart from there. It says, lechatchila, he brings down here in the Piskei Tshuvos, if you've got a new beged, or if you've got a peri, which itself carries a shechionu, that's even better, because you're avoiding all the sveikas. But it says, if you haven't got a peri, or you haven't got a beged chodosh, and you haven't made a brocha shechionu on the asiyas sukkah, then you would make a shechionu when you make kiddush next time.
Is that the Indian?
You're not eating and you're eating out somebody else's sukkah.
Yeah.
Same,
I don't think so. Again, I'm thinking to myself, somebody who didn't build a sukkah. You're going to a hotel. You didn't build the sukkah at all, yeah? Then I don't think you have to have that kavana.
Is that the Indian of opening the roof before Yom Tov starts opening the roof?
No,
I didn't make my sukkah, so I'd be standing there all year round.
Yeah,
I don't think the opening of the sukkah is the
full. Nacht has got to do with that. No, it's broken down.
Start today the Teraway in Northwest London. Monday, Erev Sukkos, Yud Dalet Tishri, 6th of October, Rabbi David Zaltzbach, Ashlita, eating before Nitzelas Luv. This week's Torah been sponsored in Nishmas, Yosef Dober, Shimon Michal, Tzvi Itzkovitz, the Chron of Rocha, our devoutest founder and organizer, started the Teraway in London, Golders Green. Bezchus Hashem, Achayelim, Bamilchomosh, Yachzul, Avatem, Lesholim, Bim Heirov.
Good morning, good Yom Tov, Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow morning, first day of Sukkos, we'll have the opportunity, Midoraisa, taking Arba Minim. And the Shaila arises if you're allowed to have a cup of coffee before davening, before Netilas Lulav. Apart from the daily Shaila, if you're allowed to drink before davening, the Poskim discussed this at length, and they are makel, so especially if you're not going to have it with milk and sugar. Nowadays, even more makel if it helps your davening. That's a big shaila. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a specific din on Sukkos, and we'll see other mitzvahs as well, of not eating or drinking before the Asiyas HaMitzvah, which is required on that day. We're looking at not just eating, but even just having a drink, if you're allowed to drink before Asiyas HaMitzvah. This Shaila, as is well known, has caused a tremendous rash in the Olam HaTorah. It started in Lithuania in the yeshivas on Rosh Hashanah, when davening used to go way into the afternoon, and it was a long davening, and you know, it's on an empty stomach. So they started to make kiddush in the shul, in the yeshivas, before Tkiyas Shofar. Then there's an added problem, because if you're having kiddush, then you've got a din of kiddush b'mokum seuda. We're mentioning, talking about drinking before davening, where there's not yet a chiyuv kiddush. On Rosh Hashanah, it's much more problematic, because you've got chiyuv kiddush b'mokum seuda, then you have to eat somewhat more. So that's where really the shaila became very, very big and greatly discussed. And Adayim Azeh, people are always discussing if you're allowed to have a kiddush Rosh Hashanah before Tkiyas Shofar. There's another, look at the Moedim Azmanim, discusses the problem of fasting. But for that you could avoid, perhaps, possibly with a glass of water. But you're right, there's also Simchas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah as well. As well as not fasting, there's also Dinah Simcha. So that's a whole deal specifically on Rosh Hashanah. Nowadays, even if a shul finishes 1:30 or whatever, you still see people having a kiddush between the end of Haftorah and Tkiyas Shofar, even though they're not going late into the afternoon. This kiddush on Rosh Hashanah in America, the godel before Moshe Feinstein was Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin made a big, big issue. He was very angry with the Olam HaYeshivas for taking on this kula of allowing a kiddush. He says it's only allowed b'shas atchak, if there's no other way out. Also, if you look at the Ktzeh HaMateh on the Mateh Ephraim, he also says, I don't know the heter where people have to make a kiddush. I heard a shefer of Moshe Weiss. He says that it is a tzeirich gadol. Why? Because if people want to have a long tefillah, they want to daven properly, finish 3:30 in the afternoon, that is a tzeirich gadol, therefore you can make it. I think that's a bit of a chiddush that. But as I say, this is a big sugya on Rosh Hashanah. What's interesting is if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shofar, you won't find anything written about not eating before Shofar. Where will you find it? In Hilchos Sukkos. In Hilchos Lulav, in Siman Tov Reish Nun Beit, says Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, Osur Lechol Koidim Shit Lenu. It's Osur to eat before taking the lulav. Nothing written in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Even the Hilchos Rosh Hashanah is written before Hilchos Sukkah. So you could have said that if it's written in one place, it may apply to the other one, but it's the other way around. It's not written by Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and it is written in Hilchus Sukkos. Says the Kaf HaChayim, umidloi kosav kei legabit kia shofar. Since Taka Shulchanoch makes no mention about kia shofar, mashma deshori. He holds that there's not a problem on Rosh Hashanah of eating before Tkiya Shofar. It's a specific halacha in Hilchus Lulav, but he doesn't explain why al pi svara there should be any chiluk. It's also a very big chidush that from a diuk in Shulchan Aruch, from the fact that Shulchan doesn't say it in Hilchus Shofar, from a diuk like that he holds it's mutter. It's very difficult to say such a thing because this halacha is not just in Lulav, it's in many, many areas in Shulchan Aruch. Megillah. That means even if you're fasting on Tanis Esther, you're not allowed to, unless it's an emergency, you're not allowed to break your fast till after the Megillah, because you mustn't eat before the Megillah. It's also brought by Hanukkah, which are mitzvahs derabanan. So how is it shaykh to say that just from a diuk in Shulchan Aruch, that's not written in Hilchus Shofar, that's mutter to eat before Tkiyas Shofar? It's very difficult. Shofar is a deraisa. So I came across in the Tshuvas, his Oiris Tshuva for Reb Shimon Sofer. He writes, Hogufa, the reason why on Rosh Hashanah you are allowed to eat before Tkiya Shofar, whereas in the other places you're not allowed to, Dafka, because Tkiya Shofar is so choshev, because it's deraisa, because it's such an important thing. And he says, the whole reason why you should not be eating or doing other things before Asiyas HaMitzvah, it's based on the sugya in Gemara Shabbos, referring to not allowed to do things before Mincha. So Rashi says, Shemo Yimoshech Ache Yavar Zman Tfilah. Because you might get carried away with what you're doing or with your meal, and therefore you're forgetting to daven. The Levush writes it clearly here in Hilchus Lulav. He says, "Kadesh lo yatrid v'yovoy l'day shikcha." Again, that you're going to get carried away with your food and you'll forget about the mitzvah. Says this Eris Tshuva, when it comes to Tkiya Shofar, if you're talking about the Yoyim Hadin, the Emas Hadin, we are not worried people are going to forget it. It's a very big chiddush. Although Chazal do seem to say it with all mitzvahs. No, because it's such a great mitzvah, it's such a fear that people know of Tkiya Shofar, the Chashon, they're not going to forget it. Then mainly you are allowed to eat beforehand. He brings a dugma, you know, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to learn L'Oir HaNeh, Shemo Yate. But on Yom Kippur, you are allowed to. Why? Because the Choma of Yom Kippur will help you remember not to do it. So he wants to say the same thing. Again, it's a big chiddush when it comes to Tkiya Shofar. We're not worried people are going to forget the Tkiya Shofar because of the Choma Indian. Oh, very good. Exactly what we're going to say now. So this same Mahalach, slightly different, exactly what you're saying, the Tzitz Eliezer and others are makel dafka when you have Tkiya Shofar in a shul and the kiddush is in the shul, then we're not worried that people are going to carry away with the su'uda. You have a little l'chaim, a little piece of cake, whatever. You're not worried you're going to forget Tkiya Shofar. You're in the tzibur. Everyone knows we're about to Tkiya Shofar. We're not so worried about that. Even to go home by yourself, there's an added svara on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because you know that Tkiya Shofar you can't do yourself. Yeah? Unless you happen to be in Baal Tekeir. You know they're not going to be waiting for you. You're going to finish your kiddush quickly and run back to shul. So therefore, there are certain heterim why on Rosh Hashanah you are allowed to have a kiddush beforehand, drink beforehand. There we're more makel. Others are not makel on that. But that's the sugi more of Rosh Hashanah. So that on Rosh Hashanah we see one mahalach from the Kaf HaChayim, which he doesn't explain, that bechlal there's no issa, the fact that it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, or like we saw the other svaras, be'etzer there is an issa, the same issa, but you could be more makel because of the choyma of Tkiya Shofar. However, Roiv Ruba of Achronim, the Mogen Avraham, Reb Kiva Egan, the Matzi Ephraim, they all hold the same issa, which is written before the Shulchan Aruch by Lulav, applies also by the Shofar, and they bring it to Sefta to prove that. And many Rishonim already talk about that. The question, however, they all deal with Beseder, and that's now we're coming now to more for tomorrow. Say this, state the Shulchan Aruch mefurish that you're not allowed to eat before Netilas Lulav, and Rav Poskim hold you're not allowed to eat before Tkiya Shefa. Now the Loshen of Shulchan Aruch is also le'echol. You're not allowed to eat. What about Ti'ima? Ti'ima is tasting a bit. Is that mutter? So that is what really everybody goes in. And remember, after davening Shachris, that means there's a chi of Kiddush. So there's the added complication of Kiddush Mokum Suda. But before davening, having a cup of coffee, l'choya, that's just a ti'ima, maybe even some fruit as well. Perhaps that's mutter, because that's not considered osa le'chel, the deek on the word le'chel. That's what the Magen Avraham discusses, and he's mistapik on this point. It brings a deek from a toistvus whether ti'ima ba'alma is mutter. The Mishnah Brura concludes, or Ti'ima Ba'alma Medina Shori, that's what we write here in Hilchos Lulav, Ti'ima Ba'alma Medina is muta, Mikom Mokom Ein Lahokel Bezeh Im Loi Letzorech Godol. Unless it's a Tzorech Godol, you should not even be Mekel even a Ti'ima. As I said, Rav Asher Weiss says by Tkiya Shofar, that is called a Tzorech Godol because you want to have a long tefillah. Yes.
You
can get the Tilas Lulav before that one. Oh, that's the second half of the Shem, Yitzhak Shem. That's what we're coming to. Very good. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also says by the Tilas Lulav, Asa lechel kodem the Tilas Lulav, or Ti'ima muta, Aval Misha ein liboy cholash. Unless you're a weak person, yesh lo lahachme afilu b'ti'ima. You should be machme even Ti'ima. That is what the Kitzur and the Mishnah Brura seem to paskel. What, however, is Ti'ima? Ti'ima is mutter. So there's a four-way machlekus, exactly what's Ti'ima, and that's not Mekobo, which we're going to be discussing now. From Shulchan Aruch, it's mashma, Ti'ima, you're even allowed to wash and have bread till the kibetza. Others say it's only fruit, a bit of cake. I'm not going into exactly what's considered Ti'ima, but you've definitely got a leeway if you need to eat a little bit before Netilas Lulav, before Tkiya Shofar, as long as it's below Ti'ima, just Ti'ima, but you should be machmir, as we've seen here in the Kitzur and Shulchan Aruch. What about a drink? Stop a drink of coffee. Now we're going back to the Ikar Shaila, which we started with. Are you allowed to drink a cup of coffee before davening, not the regular daily Shaila, but specifically before the Tilas Lulav and Tkiya Shofar? Now, even if you want to be machmir, not to drink before davening, but it comes to Lulav, you've got an interesting thing. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, everybody has a Lulav. Yeah? But in olden times, many people didn't have a Lulav. They would daven in shul without a Lulav. They would then come home, and now they've got a chance of shaking lulav. Then comes the halacha, you shouldn't eat at all until you've taken the lulav. In fact, that's the sugya in the Gemara in Sukkah, which is discussing this point about after davening, when I want to eat, but I haven't yet shaken lulav. Now, the Oruch HaShulchan, Paskens Mefurish, that drinking coffee, provided it is the same din of a daily coffee, there's absolutely no problem. In other words, even if you hold that Ti'ima Ba'alma, you should be machmir, that's a bit of cake, some fruit, maybe even a bit of bread. But drinking coffee, the Oruch HaShulchan says, there's absolutely no problem. So that's, I'm already saying, halacha l'maisa, that's the Shittas Oruch HaShulchan. You can definitely, that's not even considered Ti'ima, it's absolutely mutter. However, that's not muskim l'kula alma. The Kaf HaChaim says, V'nira ki nochin hu, it's correct, shloi lishto is kafe or kedoma, not to drink anything like coffee, bashmoiras koidem, sheyvorech al mitzvah netilas lulav. Before you shake the lulav, you shouldn't even have a coffee. And it adds a bit of an extra svara in the name of the Ruach Chaim. V'hainu tama mishum chivuv mitzvah. Slightly different deal to what we were saying. Not you're going to forget. It's a chibuv mitzvah, to show love for the mitzvah. Shlo yifne yomin usmoil, v'yeh lo hesach hadas meha mitzvah. The concentration of the mind should be on lulav. Not that we're going to forget and not shake lulav. No! Nothing! nothing before Netilas Lulav. Your mitzvah hayoyim is Lulav. You don't go and have a drink. Your concentration should be on the mitzvah of Hu Dovah, Noah, or Miskabel. So he holds at least, Lechatchil, he shouldn't even have a drink of coffee. Yes, David.
You could do it before this man of Lulav. You could have
it. If you're having it before Alois. Before Alois, there's a shaila between Alois and Netz, and that's they discuss about Rosh Hashanah as well. That if you get up mamish early, then you're a lot easier.
But that, Lulav, you shouldn't do before Netz, huh?
That's what I'm saying. But between Alois and Netz, you've got the derisa, you'd be yotze then. Definitely before Alois, you'd be okay.
Alois as well.
Correct. Yeah, before Alois, there's no problem at all. If between Alois and Netz, there's a shaila, yes. This mahalach that you shouldn't have anything before, even a cup of coffee, before Netilas Lulav is also brought to the Stei Chemed, and there's an added Makoir, and they bring this, I think it was the Rekeach, one of the Rishonim brings the Inyan to fast before Asiyas HaMitzvah, and they bring a halacha, we know that a Chosav B'yom Chuposoi fasts. Now one of the reasons for his fasting is because of the Chibuv HaMitzvah. Is going to do the mitzvah of getting married. Al chibuv ha-mitzvah, you fast before you're doing the mitzvah. And they bring a dugma like you fast before Netilas Lulav. According to this mahalach, and I'm definitely not passing this, not even a glass of water. You're fasting. Al chibuv ha-mitzvah. You definitely see here from the Stei Chemed, from the Kaf HaChayim, that there isn't an Indian not to even drink at all, even definitely they talk about coffee before davening, before Netilas Lulav. Halacha lemaisa, bevadai you could be seimach on the Orach HaShulchan to drink coffee, fruit, bit of cake, which is considered te'ima, according to many poskim, if you need it, you can have it. But you should be machme if you're able to, and according to some, you should be machme even on coffee. I'm not coming here loch lemais, but I said definitely the Orach HaShulchan, he is making on this. But I was thinking, as what people have been saying here, that there's a posher to eitzah if I want to have a coffee before Netilas Lulav. And there shouldn't be even a problem at all. And that is to shake Lulav at home, first thing in the morning, I've now done my mitzvah, and then I'll go and shul and daven. I'll have my coffee, lulav, coffee, shul.
After
Birchas HaShachar. Yeah, that's also a deal on that point. Okay, but then becomes the normal din of eating before davening, because I've done my Netilas Lulav. Now, L'chaira on Rosh Hashanah, could you say the same thing? If you're a Baal Tekeah, blow the shofar at home, blow 30 tekeahs, and then make Kiddush. I actually heard somebody did that. I don't know if it's as a Oskehalt, and I'll tell you why. Because Chazal were masakin tekeah shofar in Tvila. It's too midoraisa, you might be Yotza, but Chazal were masakin it in Tvila, and if so, by blowing your shofar before davening, you haven't really been mekayim the way how Chazal wanted, and therefore I'm not sure if you'd get out of the problem of not drinking before tekeah shofar. So the shaila we're going to ask now is, how did Chazal set up the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav? Is Netilas Lulav an independent mitzvah, which you can absolutely be mekayim first thing in the morning, and then you have your cup of coffee? Or no, Netilas Lulav is a bit like tekeah shofar, it's a chelek of davening. So let's see what's stated in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tov Reish Mem Dalet, Shachris, Acha Chazoras HaTfila, Noitlin HaLulav, Umevorchin Al Netilas Lulav, V'goymrim HaHalel. Mashma, the way how the Shulchan Aruch says it, that Chazal were mesakin din Netilas Lulav is after Shachris, before Halil. And as Zoe stated in the Vilna Gaon on that Shulchan Aruch, that is the mokum for Netilas Lulav, Dafka before Halil, and you go into Halil with an Inuim of Halil. That is the Zman of Netilas Lulav. So
before Shachris, then?
So Midarais of the Chiv is before Shachris. Her Chazal, like Tkiya Shefer, is also Midarais before Shachris, not connected to Shachris. But Chazal were Masaka Tkiya Shefer in davening. He used to be in Shachris, they moved it to Busuf. Here as well, Chazal were Masaka Netilas Lulav, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Mamish, in middle of Tvila, after Shachris. If so, it won't help this Eitzah of shaking the lulav beforehand. But we do know that many people, especially the chassidim, have the minhag that at home, before they go to shul, they shake the lulav in the sukkah. So according to that mahalach, it doesn't seem to be that shita shulchan aruch, according to that mahalach, you have an eitzah, shake your lulav in the sukkah, have your coffee, and then go to shul. That's shita shulchan aruch, that it's no good. Can't do that. What about the Ramah? We in Bnei Ashkenaz, we paskin like the Ramah. So the Ramah says, it's in Tofresh and Beis, the Ramah brings that you should take your lulav from your house and you walk to shul holding your lulav. What's the makor of this din of the Ramah? It's a Tesefta, the Gemara quotes. It's from the Anshe Yerushalayim. The Gemara Sukkah brings it. If you look in the Pirush of the Chasdei David on the Tesefta, that they bring the minhag of Anshe Yerushalayim is to hold their lulav and esrog when they're coming from home to shul, says the Chasdei David, Mikan Raya, from here's a Raya, Shehoya min hogom levorech olav besukka koida matvila. It's quite clear that they would shake their lulav at home before davening in the sukkah, uka moisha kosav ho'ari. This is where the Ari, the minhag, comes from. V'loi hoyu mamtinim levorech b'shasa halil. They would not wait till halil. And obviously, if they're carrying it to shul, they're holding it, they've already been yotza. Therefore, says the Chasdei David, it's clear, not like Shita Shulchan Aruch, that the Mokim is Halel. They already did it earlier. And the Ramah brings this. Mashma, that according to the Ramah, the mitzvah already starts in the morning at home in the sukkah. So according to the Ramah, we would be perfectly okay to have our coffee after the Tilas Lulav. The problem is, that doesn't seem to be the minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz. And more than that, if the Ramah held that way, why doesn't he argue on the Shulchan Aruch when the Shulchan Aruch says that the mokum for the Tilas Lulav is after Shachris? That's when you're supposed to do it. According to the Chasdei David, the Ramah should have argued earlier on that din.
I don't understand why you should think that because you carry your lulav and esrog to shul, you've benched already.
Okay, it's exactly what we're going to say now. Baruch Hashem.
And how do you get to shul otherwise
Okay, so that is a machlekes. That is a machlekes, and we're going to just touch on that.
You got it in a box.
You could say the Ramah means something different. The Ramah adds mishum chibub mitzvah. Not alf the kiyum amitzah. Chibub. Do you know what it means? And it's a diuk I've seen in how this post can bring it, that a rich man would ask his servant, his shliach, maybe his son, to schlep his things with him to shul. He doesn't carry things. Als chibuv mitzvah, you should take your things yourself to shul and home as well. Aye, but if you're carrying yourself, you're ready yotze. Who says? There are a few ways to avoid that. Like you said, first of all, if you take it in a box, or the plastic, which the Shulchan Aruch says that's a hefsek, you're not yotze. Second thing is, take it without an esrog, just the lulav, yeah, the esrog in a box. Agav, I have to tell you, the Agav point, Yosef Oymet says, different to this, he says, you should actually hold your esrog in your hand when you go to shul, not in the box. Al chib of mitzvah, you should be holding the mitzvah itself. Very interesting. We can look at that, the difference in the silver zekeli on veil. Anyway, but you could have no problem bringing it to shul either in a box or without an esrog, or even slightly different. Once Chazal instituted that the mokum of the Tilas Lulav is before Halil, it comes out that in your mind, I'm not being yotze yet. Therefore, even if I carry my lulav and esrog, I won't be yotze. Now, even though Shita Shulchan Aruch, and now L'chaira, even the Ramah as well, that Chazal and Mesakin, the mitzvah of lulav, is by davening, but we know many Chasidim have the minhag to take it before davening. That's also brought in the Shulchan, in Aruch HaShulchan, B'Shem G'dayli Yisrael, Shlomo Zalma did that, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Chassam Sefer. The Bikuri Yaakov says you should do it not al pi soid, like the Ari seems to say, but al pi halacha, because there's reason makdimim the mitzvahs. This again now comes into a very big sugya. Reb Moshe Feinstein is tumea ma'oid that because of reason makdimim the mitzvahs, and possibly even al pi soid, that you're allowed to shake your lulav at home. He says there's a simple halacha. The mitzvah of davening is todeh. The mitzvah of lulav is eino todeh. So davening should become before lulav. He doesn't understand this whole minute. He says bishloima anshe Yerushalayim that they held the lulav mamish the whole day. That's different. That's not a din of todeh. There's a mitzvah to have it the whole day. But we don't follow the minhag Yerushalayim. People don't do that anymore. So you want to shake your lulav at home? You've got to daven first. He doesn't say this. We might want to argue that lulav is a deraisa, tefillah is only derabbanan, but that doesn't help for Kriya Shema. So maybe Taki would have to say Kriya Shema before you shake lulav, but the poskim don't say such a thing. On this question of what about todeh, so the Achronim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Menashe Klein, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, they bring a lomdus, a very interesting lomdus, that the din of todeh, she'ena todeh kodem, is when I've got two mitzvahs now in front of me, and there's no reason to do one over the other, then todeh v'sheinu todeh plays a role. And todeh tells me I've got to do the one which is more common first. Here, however, I'm going to be davening in shul later with a tzibur. They're not davening yet. I want to daven it. There's a reason why I'm pushing it off. If so, there's no problem of the din of todeh. Adarab, zrisa makdim and the mitzvahs will come first. Reb Moshe clearly does not learn that way, and he's very, very unhappy with this minhag of taking it beforehand. Definitely al pi halacha. Now, even those who have the minhag to take beforehand, and they've definitely got a very strong basis in halacha, and it looks like the Mishnah Brura is not against this minhag, because the Mishnah Brura brings from Ari, the Mishnah Brura brings this from Ari, and he doesn't say there's a problem with it. Even more, in Siman Tov Reish Nun Dalet, he brings Ktsas min ha-Mahadrin. The Mahadrin do that. If the Mishnah Brura held there was a problem, he wouldn't have said Ktsas min ha-Mahadrin. See, Mishnah Brura is not against it. The Sharat Tzion, however, he is mistapik. Is the reason for shaking the lulav before davening, is it because of zerizim, doshtei mefurish in the Bikuri Yaakov, or is it because of soid, al pi kabbalah? He doesn't bring a nafkamina. I thought of a very simple nafkamina. If a person doesn't have a sukkah, if he still has a din al zerizim, because the idea of soid here is not al pi kabbalah to shake the lulav before davening. The idea of soid is to shake the lulav in the sukkah. So if you don't have a sukkah, then you fall back on the other din of taking before Hallel. Akoponim. Bepshuta, according to this minhag, there's no issa to drink after Netilas Lulav, according to those people who have the minhag, and absolutely there's clear Makoros, but some people hold Chatchila, to shake the lulav at home, in the sukkah, and then have your coffee. There's absolutely no problem. However, I was just to finish off, that perhaps from a different angle, there might be a bit of a problem. It's a bit lomdish, and I don't think halacha lemaisa this is true, but it's a lomdish to think about. The makor of this minhag of benching the lulav at home is brought to the Shloa Kodesh. It's from the Arizal. If you look at the Kaf HaChaim in the name of Shaar HaKavonos, how he explains this minhag, it's very interesting. Even Arizal holds the ikar place of Netilas Lulav is after Shachris, before Hallel. That is the place to do it. Novos. There's also a din, Alpi Kabbalah, to shake the lulav in the sukkah. So he says, if you have a sukkah in the shul, the best thing to do is have a little break. After Shachris, everybody goes to the sukkah, shake there. Even Arizal holds that's the ideal, because that is the right place to do it. Now, Vos, a lot of shuls didn't have a sukkah, or maybe it was inconvenient. So, they would have to, when you're balancing the two out, on that, says the Arizal, bench the lulav at home, al pisoy, that's very important, and then you finish off the ninuim in davening later. So I was thinking, lefizeh, even if you have the minhag to shake the lulav at home, that's, even according to that rizal, that's not the ideal time. It's just because you've got the sukkah. If so, you've only started the mitzvah. The mitzvah continues with the ninuim of halil. If so, perhaps drinking a coffee or having a cake between the brach of the tilas lulav at home and the ninuim later on the halal, maybe that would be considered a bit of a hefsek. This is befrat according to a well-known shita of the Briskerov. The Briskerov, which is a Rambam, held that the ninuim of halil is mamish a chaluk of mitzvahs netilas lulav. It's not two separate parts. Chazal wa mesake ninuim as a ikka chaluk of the mitzvah. According to the ninuim of halil. If so, there'd be even more of a svara to at least question whether you'd be allowed to eat in between your asiyas hamitzah. I just want to finish off with a maisa which touched me very much. A few months ago, there was a yid in our community called Mr. Benjamin. It was nifta. They're an alti yid. I want to tell you, Muradika Maisa, one look at this person, those of you who knew him, as a simple poshti yid. Let me tell you a Maisa which shook me. It was a few years ago, it was the first day Rosh Hashanah, and I came to shul in Monks with Davin quite early, and in front of me, there's Mr. Benjamin's going with his walker, huffing and puffing, and I pass him, and I go into the side room, and a few minutes later, Mr. Benjamin comes in, huffing and puffing. I said, "Mr. Benjamin, can I offer you a drink?" He says, "Yes, please." So I made him a coffee, and he drank the coffee. Exactly 2 weeks later was the first day Sukkos. Exactly the same maisa. I'm walking to shul, he's there, huffing and puffing, and he comes there, and sits down exactly the same seat, and I repeat the scene. So, "Mr. Benjamin, can I offer you a cup of coffee?" He says, "No, thank you, no, thank you." My high was sniffed. So, listen to what he said. Do you remember where he sat in shul?
Yes.
Oh, you know where he sat in shul. He said, "On Rosh Hashanah, when you gave me that coffee," he said, "that coffee made me, I needed to be excused a couple of times during davening, and I had to disturb the people in my room. And I don't want to do that again on Sukkos." A man who was desperate for a coffee, but if it means disturbing other people in davening, I'm going to be mvata on my coffee. That's a story of a poshti yid. I wish everybody a good yom tov. Please don't take what I say halacha lemaisa, yizechik adorach hashulchan, to rely on good yom tov.
Why did he say no?
Didn't want to disturb somebody. Quick thought for Sikkos also, if you want something to repeat by the table for regards to the Yontem of Sikkos, ask your question. Tonight we say, we start off the Spiesen to do with Yontem. Or whichever sequence you actually adhere to. But the question is, why are there no Spiesen by the other two Yomim Tovim? You have Pesach, you have Shvi'is, and you have Sikkos, and the only one where the Spiesen appear happens to be Sikkos. Question two, since when, if we know the Klal, ein Eurech macht es Eurech, you haven't got one guest that drags along another few others, how come here that this, when you speak about inviting one, that you're inviting all the others? So zuxte bemutem in a chavua, menuchte bemutem yasve imi. Ah, yanki moishah hani yasve vedu. Yeah, came all around. Of course, you got place for one, you got place for seven. So why was his hakreiver? So wusse the master, in ein euch machen es euch here, that on the spiesen, if you invite avruam, call avruam, gesintheit, so wechsel rab avruam, and rab yitzrik, rab yanki. But here you no, everyone yasve imi, and you mentioned all the other ones. And the third question is that there's a distinction between this, a countdown which happens by Pesach and a countdown that happens by Sikkos. Sikkos tonight we go into Avrum Yitzchak V'Yankov, straight away the first night is Avrum Uvini. But as it comes to Pesach, it comes to the Sfiras Voimer, then suddenly there's a break. There's the night of Yom Tov, and the day afterwards we start off Mimochras HaShabbos, we start off the Sfiras Voimer. Hey, Ora, so you've got three kashas here. First of all, why the Spiesen don't come altogether by Shvi'is and Sik, by Shvi'is and Pesach? Second one is, since when you've got ein Euch machen es Euch, that the rest of them tag along? And the third one is, what's the distance, why Sfir Su'em starts me Mochas, HaShabbos, and with regards to Sikkes, we start and commence immediately. Teretz, I'll be very quick because time is short. The Yisod is like this. There's one goal, and that is Torah. Torah stands as the stems at the Yisod of the whole, is of all the three human Torahim. Pesach, Shviyas, and Sikkes. Now Shviyas, you don't have any after an introduction because the whole Yontov itself is the ein shtick Torah. That's the Kapulos of Torah, the Silas of Torah, Lom of Torah, work towards it. So there's no other association needed. But with regards to Pesach and Shviyas, Pesach and Sikkes, so let's understand. There is a preparation. By the way, incidentally, you've got also, with regards to Pesach, the conclusion of Pesach finishes with Torah, because we work for 7 weeks following Pesach to conclude with Torah, which is Shviyas. And the same thing applies to Sikkes, because the whole conclusion of Sikkes also finishes with Torah, because you got Simchas Torah. But on the way there's what we call a refinement, a process of refinement of Midas. Starts with Chesed, Gvira, Teferes, Neitzach, Hoyt, and all of them which go in steps by steps. Each of the seven, I've got seven subtitles. So you go Chesed, Chesed, Gvira, Teferes, Shebe Chesed, etc., 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 which we count during the time of Sfir Su'em. And all of those are in order to achieve eventually Torah. So Memaile, each one of our Spiesen represents just that. Why? Avuam, we know, is Chesed, because it symbolizes kindness. Chesed l'Avuam, this is how to say all the Achmusas Ochem and everything that he did, his whole life pervaded with Chesed. Yitzchak was Gevira, discipline. Hakaida shows you the man who was completely not only subject to self-discipline. Yaakov was a synthesis of the two, that's why he was the Teferes Shebe Uvas, because he was able to put both together, Chesed and Gevira. And Moshe Rabbein is Netzach, because we know everything that he did was for eternity, that's why he couldn't go into Etz Yisrael. There's a lot to be said about each individual one, but I'm giving you the gist of the story. And you've got, wie heißt es, Ahar HaKoyen is Hoyt, because of the Gehinne and the appearance that he made as soon as he saw him was Mamash Amoyradike Pracht Hoyt, which symbolized the HaKoyen. And of course, Yosef HaTzadik symbolized Yesod, which of the mouth of Aishas Poitifera, and for that he got and gained the name and the title of Yosef HaTzadik. So, when we enter Pesach, which comes after the mire of the winter, when we've gone through a working of months and months and months without really a yontov in between, a cumulative of a virus and everything else, so then we come to Pesach. You can't just jump into Sfir Su'em like that. You need to have like you have in a dishwasher, a pre-rinse vimezukt. And what's that? Kadash echatz, karpas yachatz, the heilige seide. And the side also shows you that the Kaddish Echatz itself shows you that the Eibishter gives you the Kaddish, even though you really need to wash yourself first, but he changes the sequence so that he gives you and showers you with the Kaddish and gives it to you on a golden plate. Then after the uplifting experience of the Seder, okay, jetzt kem unheim zu zahlen. Now we can start counting. And then we mochras HaShabbos, we start off the count of the Tferes and Yesod and all the things which go with it. But as far as Sikkes is concerned, we don't need all that because we've just been through a Chodesh El, and we've been through a Chasliches, and we've been through a Rosh Hashuna, and we went through a Shabbos via Ha'isus Shiva, and a Yom Kodesh, and now we're going Rishon Cheshbon Avoinus, and now the first day of Sikkes, we can go straight into it, and therefore we welcome Avruam in the immediacy. And now we can understand why we said about the Ein Eurach Machnus Eurach, because there's Spiesen which are invited independently, also bring other six, because just like by the counting of Sfir Su'em, we have Chesed Shebe Gvira Shebe Teferes Shebe Netzach V'Hoyt. Now each one of those Uvas HaKadoshim and each one of those reason brings with them the koiches of the seven in an intensity which is never achieved
during the time between Pesach and Shavuos, and on the night of Sukkot, each one of them is the Yas v'Imi v'Imachon Suel Avu Mitzvah Yam Kemoshe Ham V'Yosef Vedu. Then, of course, all the other ones tag along with it. I shall help from the Schis the Spiesen or so in Mitzvah Luhma Zoyer Alechtigen Feinem Sukkot. Jump.
I went to Pablo's house and I came to teach my parents about Shvizim.
What?
It's not quite like that.
I'm going to do it.
He said,